So I want to move on now and talk a little bit about the issue of toxicity, autoimmune toxicity. And in particular, I want to get into the issue of how you deal with patients with prior autoimmune disease. And Ben covered that in his talk, and it's a great talk. It goes through the data that we have on this. And we put together a few scenarios. And Melissa, maybe you can comment on these first two, the patients with Crohn's disease. So one where it's well controlled, but they're on infliximab. So it looks like only Ben would use an IO on a patient like that. But Melissa, can you comment a little bit about how you approach people with a prior history of autoimmune disease in general? And specifically, I don't know if you've had patients with Crohn's disease, sort of how you figure this out.
Yeah, I think just like PD-L1 level is on a spectrum, I do believe that autoimmune conditions concomitant with lung cancer are also on a spectrum. And so I guess this question is getting at how significant is Crohn's disease on your autoimmune spectrum. I guess what I picked up on, and maybe wrongly since Ben did the research and can tell me why, but I picked up on the fact that the patient was being treated for his Crohn's disease. And sometimes I look to a patient that has a history of an autoimmune condition but is stable, not on therapy, as a reason that I could apply the immunotherapy in addition to the chemotherapy. But here, because this patient doesn't just require budesonide or something local for the intestines to keep the intestines quiet, but a systemic therapy, I thought that was a reason that I'd be reluctant to add pembrolizumab. I look at, I guess the risk is potentially that you'd add fuel to the fire and make the Crohn's disease worse.
So Ben, you know, it also gets into the mechanisms of how these autoimmune diseases actually occur and how the therapies work, which, you know, certainly I don't know too much about. I'm sure each one is somewhat different, but any sort of broad conceptualization that you have, Ben, in terms of sort of the pathophysiology that you're dealing with and how you adapt to that?
I think that we know that PD-L1 and CTLA-4 both are probably in play with self-tolerance, and they are upregulated on a variety of tissue, and manipulation or alterations of these can lead to autoimmune phenomenon and may explain at a very basic level why patients who are receiving checkpoint inhibitors may have a flare of a pre-existing autoimmune phenomenon. And we just don't have a lot of data. And I agree with Melissa. I think there are autoimmune diseases and there are autoimmune diseases. There's a spectrum within each autoimmune disease, and then there are differences between them. And I think it has to be an individualized treatment decision for these patients and really deep digging on the severity. I mean, if you look at the data, at least the retrospective analysis from Memorial experience, it looks like even for patients with pre-existing autoimmune phenomena who are being treated, about 50% of those patients, small numbers, will develop a flare, of which most of those will still be grade 1 or 2. And when you have that with the idea that at some point a patient is going to need a checkpoint inhibitor at some point in their, at least I believe, in their treatment continuum for their lung cancer, I would probably consider, I don't say I would do it all the time, but I would consider offering a checkpoint inhibitor with a very close monitoring. But I don't think there's any right or wrong here. With it looks like 80% or the large majority are avoiding the use of immunotherapy, I would certainly give it a go. And I, Neil, you and I spoke about this last parting shot. I mean, I think there are some autoimmune phenomenon that I feel very hesitant about giving. I mean, we're talking about in this data set, myasthenia patients being involved, multiple sclerosis patients being involved. Those are patients I would not consider. For this patient, I think I'm on the fence, but would certainly consider it.
And as you stated, for example, when we present a patient who has psoriasis, people in general are going to be using checkpoint inhibitors, although I've heard of a case that ended up in the ICU, and multiple sclerosis. Well, it looks like a couple people would go with carbapenem and Bev. So multiple sclerosis. And, you know, everybody I've asked about multiple sclerosis over the years has said the same thing, that they wouldn't treat it. However, I have a case that is our case, incidentally. What about transplant, John? Again, when you think about how the drugs that are used in transplant, how they work, and how checkpoint inhibitors work, what would you expect and what do we know? I know Hopkins has done a lot of research on this, but what's sort of the bottom line, John, in terms of giving IOs to people who've had transplants?
Yeah, that's another population that we just don't have a big data set, but it really concerns me. I tend to be a little bit more aggressive using it in the case of autoimmune disorders. You know, there was a study led by Mark Awad where it looked like about 20% of people with autoimmune disorders, a little bit more, had a flare, but they were manageable and controllable. So you weren't killing people if you gave it to them with their underlying autoimmune disorders. But multiple sclerosis, myasthenia, and transplant are the three conditions where I'm really concerned about it. It may emerge that there'll be data slowly over time that tells us it's safe, but just because the consequences of losing a kidney or something like that, I tend to really use it as a last resort. I think I've done it once for somebody who had a distant history of a kidney transplant and who was aware of the risks and had been off immunosuppressants at that time. But if somebody was actively on immunosuppressants, that means their immune system is still, you know, trying to attack. And so unleashing that potentially with immunotherapy is a bit of a frightening prospect for me. So I'm still cautious in that setting if they're still on immunosuppressants.